Love this podcast? Support this show through the supporter feature from Acast. It's up to you how much you give and there's no regular commitment. Just hit the link in the show description to support now.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Welcome to Ambridge on the Couch, an in-depth look at the Archers with me, hungover Harriet Carmichael. Oh, just a tired hungover. Lucy Freeman and the permanently baffled and never hungover Mr. Newbie. Before we dive in, let's remind ourselves of what happened last week with Lucy's Week in Ambridge.
Well, this week on the Archers was weird. We've had the flippant week in which everything went a bit panto, but this week was just peculiar. It was like being stuck in a room with elderly relatives while a riotous party was going on in the room next door, and you were desperate to find out what was happening, but you had to keep listening to your aunt telling you about her neighbour's son, who's a lovely boy and trying to be a nurse. We began the week with Eddie dressed up like a nurk, ferrying a group of Terry Two Phones' friends around. The lads did the usual homoerotic stag do business, playing leapfrog round the garden of the pub. Well, that's what Eddie thought they were doing anyway. It was fairly successful. He arrived home with £200 and a PE teacher called Adrian York. Over at Brookfield, we interrupted Ben, who I thought at first was clipping his toenails prior to his nurse interview, but turned out he was tapping away on his laptop. His mother was as helpful as usual, advising him to tell them that he'd been shagging a junior doctor for ages in case that counted in lieu of any actual medical experience. Ruth said Ben was lauded with empathy. I don't know where she got that from, as his nearest and dearest are singularly lacking. Ben said he couldn't remember anything about his mother having cancer, and she said that was because he wasn't born then. Well, yes, that would certainly explain it. Cool, he's going to smash this interview. Back at Grange Farm, Adrian York, the PE teacher, was squashing himself into Ed's wedding suit. Ed described it as his best suit. I think only is probably more like it, but either way, it was a bit of a liberty of his father to let Adrian York, the PE teacher, squeeze his beer sweaty frame into it. Eddie ended up being paid £300 in cash for his night's work, which is just extraordinary. Who carries £300 in cash, for goodness sake, in this day and age? Even lap dancers let you swipe, if you're lucky. It was like listening to someone adding up the takings at a corner shop as he hauled out tenner after tenner from his trouser pocket. And another thing, for a soi-disant taxi driver, Eddie has really not got much of a grip on sat-navs, has he? I mean, I am no technical genius. See the fact that every time anyone airdrops anything to me, my phone plays the whole of the Cagney and Lacey theme tune and I am unable to work out why it's doing it or how to turn it off. But I do know how to press the little microphone thing so I can actually hear what it is saying, rather than forcing my son to take a morning off work to shout instructions at me while trading bitter bon mots with his ex-PE teacher. Was that whole thing really so we can find out the utterly pointless, albeit pleasing, fact that the Grundy brothers were called Gormless 1 and 2 at school? To be fair, I think we could have all taken a bet on that. Roy was preening in front of the mirror. Something was sticking up behind his ear. God knows what, the mind boggles. His imaginary girlfriend Layla hates having her photo taken, which immediately made me think catfishy catfish, and she's going to be 63 years old with a wooden leg. Or a software engineer called Damien. I know all about the pitfalls of online dating, said Roy loftily. Roy, you are one of the pitfalls of online dating. Over at Beechwood, oh my God, Jack has been given infrared goggles. As if that couple of maniacs weren't alarming enough, they are now kitting them out with bloody psychopath hardware. Flick knives and matching balaclavas for your birthday, lads. Helen had the supremely patronising idea of getting the poor residents of Beechwood, as if they haven't suffered enough from living next door to Mary Poppins and Dick Van Dyke, to name her sodding scare cow. She's asked Lee to put it on the WhatsApp group as a fun competition. She'll no doubt get 17 suggestions, all of which are great if she doesn't mind naming her cow Piss Off Helen. Just saying. There's glamping at Loxley Norton. Who knew? Loxley Norton sounds like a Midwest news anchor. But the main point is, who in their right mind would pay to stay in a hemp tent and wee on a compost heap lit by solar lights that only come on in the day, when 2 miles up the road at Loxley Norton, they could have wood-burning stoves, wood floors with rugs and proper beds on a campsite run by people who are neither a clueless Oxbridge graduate nor a minicab driver. Xander and Adam are both avoiding Ian. If I was Ian, I'd be a lot more cheerful about this than he is. Must be horrible living with two people who hold their breath and poo their pants deliberately if they don't get their own way. David had a great feeling about Thursday, which I thought meant we'd all be debating over their lifeless corpses by 4 p.m. But no, they made it through and they got a load of freshly carved three-way crossbreeds from an IBR-vaccinated BVD-free herd. Whew! That's a relief. Helen asked Lee if he'd seen Bernadette's borders. Yes, at the Roundhouse in 1992, they were supporting Panting Bess. I tell you what, that poor dog needs to see a bloody vet. It sounds like it was going into cardiac arrest. Back at Beechwood, Lee, Helen and adopted Auntie Joy were discussing horrible Kyle, who in my head looks like that kid from South Park, and his snidey comments about Helen. He's hardly a faceless troll. He lives at number 19. Anyway, Lee went stomping off to go and give him a piece of his mind, which he can ill afford, in my view, got halfway there, realised he'd got his shoes on the wrong feet and they're a bit hurting, so he limped back. Helen was pleased and he was allowed a hot chocolate and a jammy dodger before bed. Incidentally, people don't see you as a threat, Helen, but they do see you as an annoying tit. But the big news in a week in which sod all happened is the fact that Steph is going to book her wedding back at Brookfield again. Even though her father is Rogering the Chatelaine of Lower Loxley and Steph asked her future stepbrother to bump uglies with her and her fiasco, what is going on with Steph's wedding? Never mind Brookers being all farmy and happy for once. The real focus here should be on Steph, daughter of Mince. What we need right now, and I think I'm speaking for all of us here, is a catastrophic wedding. There is nothing like it for taking your mind off your own troubles, unless it's your wedding. The end.
Oh my God, how you get, you're so funny and it's 8 o'clock in the morning.
I'm on a lot of drugs, Harriet.
Are you like, did you have an espresso and a well woman for breakfast? I did. To perk you up.
What, like Tess Daly, her smirking flipping face on the tube. My day doesn't start till I've had my well woman. Oh, shut up.
I only buy them so I look like her.
You do look exactly like her, actually.
Yes,
absolutely. I'm just, it's
I thought
well.
I might grow a bit taller. Yeah. Like, eat them. That was so funny. Can we just say thank you for listening? Goodbye.
Bye.
No, that was so funny, Lucy. Because you said nothing happened, but after that,
it's quite
it's
good
clear
to write.
A lot happened.
But when nothing sad happens, it's easy to write it. Because you can be flippant. You can't be flippant about alcoholism, although I do give it a good go, I know.
But I think that's what they're doing, isn't it? They're
yes.
balancing the sad weeks with the
yes.
fun weeks. And this was a fun week and I enjoyed it because I think it's going back to being like the Archers was pre-pandemic. You know, like with loads of... Because I feel like this... Now we're getting the Archers from all parts of the village again.
Yeah. Yes, definitely.
It's a bit less
yeah.
focused on one
yeah.
thing.
Yeah.
And they're, you know, creating little dramas wherever they go.
But I don't know why, rather than having, I mean, because we seem to be having happy weeks and then drama weeks. Could we not, like, have a bit of, like, you know, life is not all, you know, jolly, jolly, ha-ha, and then miserable gloom. It's a bit of everything. Could we not have a bit of everything all at once or not?
I think it being a four-day week isn't helping that because it's actually hardly any time. Like, it's an hour, isn't it, in all? So it's quite hard to do funny and sad because if you have a sort of sad Alice, you sort of can't really wait for a whole week before you hear her
driving
again.
Driving around Portchester with a hiccuping PE teacher in the back.
That was such a confusing story because I missed an Archers this week without realising.
And so then I was like, to last night's
yeah,
drunk
so last
at
night, like at midnight, I was thinking, oh, that's funny, because they never really, you know, that sort of Eddie having a groom in his back garden just fizzled away. So presumably, I guess the groom didn't get married after all. And then I listened, I found yes. out that there was one I'd missed.
Yes.
And I was like, oh, it was a whole story in two episodes, which yes. I really enjoyed, actually.
Did you? I thought it was like Grange Hill. I just kept thinking
yes!
of that man looking like the one
it
with
was.
The beard from Grange Hill.
It was like Grange Hill.
Yeah.
Because that teacher was, I mean...
He was horrible.
He said that his school had Ofsted Outstanding.
Yeah.
If they'd met him,
yeah.
they would definitely have put it in special measures. He is not a teacher of this generation in any shape or form.
No, he was a teacher written by people that were brought up on Grange Hill, wasn't he?
Yes.
Absolutely.
Yeah. I mean, A, leching over the yeah. young biology teacher.
Yeah.
B, nicknaming the yeah. children, basically taking the mickey because they weren't academic. He would be locked up now, wouldn't he? He'd have been U-treed and locked up for sure.
I did like the fact that Emma Carter's nickname was Sweary Carter or something.
Yeah, that was funny. But I like that, this sort of like silly old bants, you
yeah.
know, because it's like completely the opposite of what you'd get in any other soap.
Yes.
It's sort of so unrealistic and old school.
But
maybe it just appeals to me because, you know, I used to watch Grange Hill.
But also, I mean, they're on four nights a week. They have been going since the dawn of time. They've got time to waste, quite frankly, haven't they? They can literally piss an episode away on, let's just have a quick segue into Eddie William and Emma's period at secondary school for no reason whatsoever.
And also, because I assumed with the... car farce, I was like, well, obviously you wouldn't hear any of the other characters. You never, like, when it's something like that, you never actually hear
yeah.
the... But actually, they brought in a whole new character,
yeah,
which is like,
did.
Wow, I thought that was quite
yeah.
shiny.
We had him, then we had the nurse,
who I thought might be the rehab nurse.
Same uniform. She didn't have
I
to
think,
change or anything. She just went straight from
because
one to the
rather than talking like this... She was then talking like, oh no, it was like this.
Yeah.
But I thought because she had the same softly approach,
yeah.
it was the same woman.
At least it wasn't Susan this time. That could have been very
yes.
confusing.
I was hoping Susan would walk in.
Hello,
and then
Ben.
Ben's like, huh? I like Ben because
yeah.
he doesn't drag the energy down, does
no.
he? He's very like energetic and
yeah.
and quite spirited.
Yes.
I think he makes really good radio listening, actually.
Yes, yes. Like Freddie. Freddie's the same, actually.
Yes, exactly. Just brings the energy up
yeah.
and drives
Josh is
the
a bit
scene.
Of a drag, but Ben
yes.
is nice.
Yes, he's a whiner,
up.
Isn't he?
Yeah, yeah.
But no, I really like
not
Ben.
Not his fault, it's the way he's written it.
And the way he was born. I mean, not the actor, the character, obviously. The actor's very good. He's like a proper actor as well, I think.
Is he?
In real life,
Ooh,
yeah. I mean, they're all proper actors.
You mean he's not really a dentist in real life or like all...
I think he does a bit of theatre, etc.
Oh, I see. What do we reckon about... I did love the fact that when we have a scene like that, the completely pointless scene, a CPS, should we call it, completely pointless scene, CPS.
CPS.
When we have a CPS, everybody, or not everybody, some very, very sort of strategic thinking people on Twitter immediately try and bolt everything together to make it make sense. They haven't given in to the fact that it's like a dream. It's just there's no reason, then it goes and we all forget about it. It's fine. Stop trying to shoehorn it into something else.
No offense, but it's not great literature,
yeah,
is it?
It just exists in and of itself for no reason.
A novella.
Yeah. Yeah. Something you leave on a train and walk away from quite happy and think, I don't care what happens to any of those characters.
Yes, it's, magazine.
A penny shocker. They were saying, well, maybe the teacher that he's marrying is Layla, who Roy is going out with. And I was thinking, just because they've used the word
Ooh.
Teacher twice in one episode doesn't mean it's the same teacher. There's more than
Ooh.
One. But then I was thinking, but
what
but if
maybe
right? But
I actually think that would be brilliant because It's because, as I said, it's unusual that they bring a character in.
Yeah.
Isn't it? But if they're just going to waste him on one... Unless it's like policeman, nurse, doctor, etc. Yeah. They don't often bring a character in. Mm. Unless it's going further.
Yeah.
Ooh! But I don't... I think it's more sinister with Roy, isn't it?
Yes.
It's got to be.
Yeah.
Poor old Roy.
I'm worrying. Worrying.
Yes, but I am. I do worry for Roy.
I worry as well, because I haven't got a life. I worry that Roy's paid for her train ticket and she's got his credit card details. And she's now on the way to Costa Rica to go and buy a race course or something.
Oh, to join Matt.
Yeah.
Oh.
Maybe it is Matt. Imagine that.
I like this story. Again, because it was like, oh, phew, they've remembered that Roy's online dating. Although it's been a very long time
really
to just
has.
Be doing phone calls.
Yep.
Without going, can I see a picture?
I mean, pictures. Okay.
Is he not a bit frustrated? Anyway. But like, so I was relieved that they'd remembered about it. But also, I really like the mystery of it. Mm. Ooh, I think it's quite exciting.
And I think it's well drawn in that Phoebe is going, Dad, you've got to be careful. He's going, I know, being all patronising. And actually, he hasn't got a clue who this woman is. It's, you know.
And he did that sniff, did you notice? Yeah. Which is that defensive, like, actually, Phoebs, I think you'll find I'm a very sophisticated, mature man.
But how many times can poor Roy get shafted, honestly?
Just before I forget, that thing about the cash. I kept thinking, what? Well, who actually ever has any cash anymore?
I know. You're not supposed to give cash in COVID anyway. But I'm been surprised that man could sit down. His pockets must have been so bulging.
But also, why wasn't it stolen?
Yes.
If he had like 300 quid in his pocket.
Yeah.
And he was doing leapfrog.
Yeah.
I mean, surely one of his mates would have just pocketed that. I wouldn't. Yeah. No, I wouldn't, obviously.
No.
But
no.
Sorry, that was a diversion. I just had to,
I
agree
know.
With that
nuts.
Funniness. But I'm glad Eddie got paid in the end. And I did worry. I did worry on the episode where they were going to leave him in the cold. I was like, oh no, oh God. I thought maybe it would turn dark, you know, and the bridegroom would be hurt. And anyway,
it was fine.
It was all jolly, so it was okay.
Yeah,
but back to Roy and Phoebe. I'm really into this already.
Ooh.
Ooh. Yeah, it's good. But also, it made me. I was like, you know, the fact that they never leave the village.
Yeah,
because I was thinking Roy is going to London. Are you joking?
Oh, no, he isn't.
But of course he couldn't because that would be impossible. He'd have opened to. The real world.
It'd be like the Truman Show.
There's all sorts of Delta around in London. So, Roy, best stay where you are, love.
Yes. I think that the trains don't actually run from Lower Loxley. I mean, not Lower Loxley.
What? Does Lower Loxley have a train station
probably.
Now?
They just have... Oh, yeah, we found this behind the orangery.
Oh, ooh. A train station with actual running trains. Oh, look, and there's Tony.
How long has this been here, Freddie? I don't mean that. What do I mean? The junction. Hollerton Junction.
Junction. It's like from Thomas the Tank Engine, isn't it?
Hollerton Junction. I think that the trains just go round in a big circle and come back again. And then they all feel very excited that they've been somewhere and really they haven't been anywhere. Or they just like shunt backwards and forwards.
That's why
like one of those lines that you go on with children, you know, where they just go half a mile up the line and everyone gets excited and then you have an ice cream and then you all come back. It's like that.
It is, but that's why they have to go in Eddie's mini, not mini, limo, because there is no other public transport. it's limos, Rex's taxi, or the miniature train, and that's it, isn't it?
The only time we ever heard anyone load a bus was when Will met Nick. He met Nick on a bus.
Yeah.
That was it.
And
she went and got the pushchair wedged in the door or something because she was so unused.
Oh, you have a forensic memory.
I don't. I remember really useless things. I can't remember whose people's grandparents are and things like that, which would be actually helpful rather than remembering flipping buses. Anyway. Oh, dear.
What else happened?
I felt very, very uncomfortable when Lee came running back and went, oh, Helen, I'm sorry.
Angry Lee was something to behold, wasn't it? I thought his face was going to explode.
Yeah.
angry.
I know, his voice goes really weird. You think, clear your throat.
I wanted to bite him, hello. She was like, oh, leave. God,
put it away.
Yes. Don't be a dick, darling. Come inside. I mean,
have you washed your hands? Properly, go and wash them. Let me see. And the backs. Okay.
You didn't sing happy birthday while washing your hands.
Go and do it again.
I thought it was sweet that he was defending her honour.
Yeah.
And I really love the little triangle they've made with Joy.
Yeah.
That's very lovely. And she went, oh, pet, didn't she? And it was really heartfelt.
Yeah.
And I like Helen's sensibleness in that, you know, her pragmatism in that she just has to live with this.
Yeah.
And it's shit, but she has to, you know, what can she do?
And also,
because there are dicks around.
Yeah. And they're all on WhatsApp. And if they're not on WhatsApp, then they're on the Next Door app, which is just.
God, imagine if Helen was on Twitter.
Oh, my God.
Oh, my God. Yeah, she can't. Don't ever go on Twitter, Helen.
She wouldn't anyway. She'd be on Instagram and she'd just post pictures of her children doing wholesome things like making bread out of stones and things.
So not. Imagine how many people
moss
would be,
together to
all
make
her
garments.
Friends would be like, like.
Yeah.
God's sake.
God, she's doing it again. Yeah, they'd have a private WhatsApp group going, what is that cow doing
now? But that's
now?
The thing. This can't be the only WhatsApp group that's being slaggy about Helen.
No.
But of course, you know, like, as I predicted in my song,
yes,
which, ladies and gentlemen, you can have a listen to if you listen back a couple of episodes. I actually wrote a song, and it's actually the storyline this week. Because, of course, it was obvious that when they first introduced the idea of the WhatsApp group that everyone was going to... If a murderer, or not a murderer, sorry, what was she? She was a murderer.
Murderer.
No, a stabber. If a stabber moves into your close...
Yeah.
You're going to be, there's going to be talk, Lucy, is all I'm saying.
Talk. Yeah.
And of course, she's the victim. Helen's the victim, but they're not going to have read that. They're going to have read what the tabloids wrote about Helen. And that's going to stick. And people are horrible.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
So don't move. I mean, before you. Yeah.
Don't move into a close. That's the message here.
Just and never join a WhatsApp group.
Yeah. Ever. Or Next Door app.
But you'd think that the people at Beechwood would have, like, I mean, she must know them all. They live in her village.
But she doesn't though, does she? Because she never engages with anybody that she doesn't already know. Never.
And she is literally the most patronising person
really
in the world.
I know what'll be fun for everybody who doesn't know me and the ones that do know me hate me. Let's name a cow that they don't care about. Stop making everything, a fun exercise for everybody else. Just get on with your own knitting. Flipping it.
Shut the curtains, Helen, and leave well alone.
Yes.
That'd be my advice.
Yes, absolutely.
And Lee was sweet to stand, but good old Lee. And also he was the bigger man by coming back, actually, Lucy, and not engaging with that troll. He was the bigger man.
I know. I should like him more, shouldn't I? It's just when he comes back on, oh, Helen.
No, the trouble is he loses his... At the very beginning, you know, when he was doing karate and stuff, you were like, sort of, you know, sexy guy.
Yeah.
Sexy guy. But now he's just... No, actually, do you know what? I'm going to not say any of that because actually I do like Lee. I've always quite liked Lee and I find him a refreshing character in that he doesn't have silly alphaness that makes him go silly.
Yeah. Silly alphaness that makes him go silly, silly, silly. We don't like the silly
terribly
boys.
Sensible and good couple. And long may they stay together, Lucy.
Shall we listen to what... Oh, first of all, we need to say thank you very much to Julie Bacon, who said very nice things about us and sent us some moolah to pay for new electronic cables when they go kaput. So thank you very much,
Julie. Super kind. We're putting it all in a fund for our Ambridge on the Couch party, which everyone's invited to.
Yes.
That'll be in about 2025.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. And it will probably be at Tesco's on their meal deal thing. But anyway, so everyone can have a sandwich.
You can
and
have
a
your party
drink.
There, Lucy. I'll be booking somewhere a bit
You'll
nicer
be in the
than cup that.
Yes.
I'll be in the Langham on the rooftop.
You know you're not allowed back in there, they said. Anyway.
Can I just do a shout out for some... It's so kind of people to send moolah, but if you don't want to do that... then please, would you kindly write a review? on the podcast. Yes. Although it's really annoying when people say, can you write a review? Because then you're like, oh, God, how do I do it? I'm always like that. I don't really know how you do it.
It does say write a review.
Oh,
there's a little button what you press, what says write a review. Yes.
But you have to go to the podcast's page. Oh, no, you could probably do it on your app, couldn't you?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Just write a review, would you? And make sure it's 5 stars.
Yes.
Thank you.
6 if you can manage it. Squash another one in. Just write star.
The only reason we're asking is because quite some of our reviews are actually not for Ambridge on the Couch. They're for Lucy's previous podcast disaster.
So
so they were very good reviews, but some of them marked a bit down for the sound quality.
Yes, because I was on me tod with a mobile phone wandering through the forest. So, yes, please bump up the average.
We want our Uber rating to go up. Please.
Yes.
Thank you.
All Uber drivers to love us. Yes.
We want to do that. So, in fact, there are some really lovely reviews for us already, Lucy.
I know.
And I keep meaning to like screenshot them and put them on, well, send them to Mr. Newbie to put them on a page.
I don't, I never look at them. I get really flipped. But my mum reads me out.
Oh, sweet.
And this lady said that. And this lady said
so
that.
Nice. Very nice. I have to say, though, when you do read reviews or comments on Twitter and stuff, it is massively motivating
and
inspiring.
Yeah.
Like in a way that you wouldn't have imagined. But it makes you want to do more, doesn't it?
It makes
so
you
lovely.
Yeah.
Because otherwise you feel like, is anyone listening?
Yeah, exactly. And especially when people say, it cheers me up on my whatever, you know.
I know.
On my trip to whatever. And it's just really,
To doing the chemical toilets.
Yeah.
Yeah. You go, oh, I'm just so happy to be accompanying
and also,
you on that trip.
Yes, we're delighted to be with you on that journey, Owen.
But thank you very much, Julie.
Yes.
Going in the drinks fund.
Thank you to Jenna as well from Brooklyn, who is lovely. I did meet her when I was there.
Done with the Brooklyn accent.
Oh, God. I should have said she was from Leicester, shouldn't I? Anyway, she said, I write little notes around the house with my take on the Archers, which I never send anybody. My most recent one says, I love Lee because he doesn't make sense. Recent weeks on the Archers have been chaotic and inconsistent, haven't they? Well, yes. I thought Adam and Brian mostly getting on with things after their massive fight was bizarre, but Harriet is totally right about families, how you can stand on the brink of divorce and then just have to let it go for a while. Sometimes the Archers is more nuanced and realistic than I'm used to in any drama. Like 50% of my peers in America, I had to move back with family last year, and wowee, I have really started to hate my role in the established dynamic. It's given me a whole new appreciation for all generations of Archers, Aldridges, etc., stuck having to become their truest selves in the Ambridge Twilight Zone. Loving Ambridge on the Couch, all the best to you, Jenna. Thank you very much, Jenna. That's lovely.
That's very insightful as well, because actually, maybe when we're going, oh, it's so unrealistic, actually, it is. It is properly is the more realistic in a way, because people are strange and they flip from one personality to another, don't they?
Yeah. And we both live a sort of metropolitan life.
Yes.
We
go on trains.
We go swimming. We leave the county, leave the borough sometimes.
You don't go swimming.
I do.
Are you going swimming? You can't go swimming this weekend.
I just don't call it wild swimming, Harriet, because I'm not a wanker.
I'm going wild swimming.
Of course you
tomorrow.
Are. Of course you are.
I'm going to Cornwall.
Are you wearing a sea salt swimsuit?
I actually am.
I know you are.
Did I tell you about it?
No.
Oh, I bought a really expensive swimsuit, did I tell you?
No.
Oh, I bought a really expensive sea salt or one of those swimsuit, Sea Folly, so expensive.
Oh, lovely.
Really lovely.
I like Sea Folly.
Yeah.
They're
like
very good for those
design.
Of us with the large boobaroobas.
No, but also good for those of us with the small boobaroobas.
Oh, really?
Flat boobaroobas, because they give you a bit of uplift.
Oh, okay.
Yes, and all sorts of lovely ruchy bits. Then I went into Marks and Spencer's Lorsey, and they've got the same swimsuit for half the price.
Well, it can't be the same, otherwise Sea Folly would be.
It looked exactly the same. It was all ruchy.
But it's booby the support.
Bits. It had the, but it was all the same style anyway. Mm. Anyway, I've got the expensive
one. It won't give you the same lift.
But I'm a bit now. I've actually packed my Speedos as well, because I was like, oh, my expensive swimsuit. I don't want to put that in the sea. I'll ruin it. So I'm not going to wear it. It's just going to be packed. I might wear it in my bedroom and in the kitchen, but not down the beach.
When you say speedos, I've got an image of you now in Budgie Smugglers. You mean a speedo, don't you? Not like my a pair of trunks.
My two speedo swimsuits. That are probably 15 years old.
Yes.
You know, a bit of threadbare in the bum.
The yes. If you bend down, they go completely transparent. Yes.
Absolutely no support whatsoever anywhere in there.
So, brace yourself, Cornwall.
Here I come. I thought I could do a little... I could do a little like roaming reporter bit from Cornwall for you if you like.
I would love that, but I doubt very much it's going to happen.
I'll just interview the kids and get some sound in the...
Yes.
Mind you, I don't have any sort of roaming equipment, so I actually can scrap that. Okay, yeah. Back to
we
the arches.
We won't be doing that. And now, let's hear from Mr. New...
Oh, Eddie, running a stag night around, really? Without charging? There's no way this ends without the limo upside down on top of a bus shelter and painted orange and missing all its wheels and seats. I got married in May and had my stag in March, which gave me just enough time to row back from the Faroe Islands, which is where I'd woken up, and for my hair and eyebrows to grow back. Ah, okay. Eddie has made himself a couple of hundred quid, but has also gained an unconscious bridegroom. It's going to be one of those weeks, is it?
Yep.
Well, it beats alcoholism and rehab in any event. His Terry Two Phones edging towards becoming an actual speaking character. He's turned up every week for the last 3 weeks now, and this is what happened just before Jade spread her wings and flew, so to speak. If he is going to get a part, could I ask you all to write into Broadcasting House and put me forward for the gig? I'll be in my dressing room if you need me. Maybe qualifications in general ain't what they used to be, but it does seem like becoming a nurse should require more than learning six words and being able to wash your hands. Also, Ben's just said, big wow, and I might be even more out of touch than I realise, but I'm fairly sure that no teenager has non-ironically said those words since 1987. Ben's just dropped a bombshell. Ruth had cancer. What sort of cancer? When? Did the treatment involve a sense of humour ectomy? It would explain a lot. Right, so Tuesday happened. Up until now, even when the Archers has been difficult or challenging to listen to or has been a bit silly or, more often, a bit confusing, I've always enjoyed it anyway. But Tuesday's episode was, I don't know, tedious?
Yep.
Even the relatively sensible storyline about Ben was thoroughly bloody patronising. I'm sure you've all experienced days like this many times before and have happily moved on, and I'm sure that episodes like this don't happen all that often, but it's nonetheless brought me down to earth a little bit. I'm not angry, writers. I'm just disappointed. Oh, well, here's Roy to bring us all back down to earth on Wednesday. I'm on record as thinking that Roy is about as exciting as a wet Monday in Egremont, but this is actually quite sweet. He's trying his best to be cagey when he's telling Phoebe about Layla, but it says something about his relationship with the former and feelings about the latter that he can't help but be honest, and it's quite charming. He really is a jolly decent sort, and in stark contrast to one or two of the other characters at the moment, he's really growing on me. Oh dear, though, what's this? Layla's train was cancelled and she didn't make it to the lunch date, and this is where things all get a bit meta. If this happened in real life, you'd just make another date, spend the day cooking sausage casserole instead, and never give it another thought.
Yes.
But the very fact that it's in the storyline means it's not nothing. It's just a question of what it is. Is Layla actually a man called Dave who runs an amusement arcade, talks Damien. Like this, and is looking to catfish Roy? Or is this the old double switch and it's actually Phoebe who's being led down the garden path? I mean, teachers understandably do tend to have a very minimal online presence, and not everybody likes taking photographs of themselves or video chatting. I do, of course. When you're as agriculturally fit and rugged as I am, it's almost a duty to share. I think we can start to assume that the Alice thing is on its way out, and we've yet to discover what comes next, even if there have been a couple of potential teasers, so perhaps this is how it works. A week's worth of storylines that nobody cares about, and then a big reveal of the new storyline on Thursday night. Let's see. Ian is lovely when he's away from Adam. He's like the fundamentally good boy who gets led astray by the deeply naughty boy. He's full of empathy and calm and sensible advice, which is going slightly to waste on Lee, who, despite the fact that his partner is being cyberbullied by somebody whose name, address and phone number he knows, is sitting there and fretting rather than kicking down doors and yelling like John Four in the Sweeney, which is what I'd be doing in that situation. I'm not saying that's necessarily a better approach, but I do think that maybe Lee, what with his being a karate instructor and all, might just consider having a quiet but nonetheless deeply meaningful chat with the perpetrator to explain to him the error of his ways. God, he's such a wet fart. I'm not at all sure what this business with David, Ruth and Ben is all about. They seem to be setting up some everything's hunky-dory here at Brookfield premise, which makes me think that things aren't going to be hunky-dory for long. God, I hate this. It's like sitting in a departure lounge waiting for your flight, but WH Smith's is shut, so you can't even get a bag of giant buttons and a puzzler. Can we get on with it? Whatever it is, please.
He's right, though. That's exactly what it is like. It's like, so are we all just waiting for Alice to come back? Are we waiting for, you know...
Yeah, but we just get a month off, don't we? So they can do others. You see, because you two don't like the sort of flippant weeks. I enjoy them because they're not stressful at all. And you hear more characters... I mean, even the Ruth thing, although, you know, it was a bit boring, at least it reminded us of, again, it sort of like rooted us back to, I think if you've been listening for a long time, you actually need some reassurance that your history, our shared history is there.
Yeah.
So I thought that was good that they brought that back. Although, you know, that's the trouble, isn't it? It's like she's just so patronising again, isn't she? Like when she went to Ben, she was like, oh, you see, looking after animals isn't so different to looking. And he was like, yeah, but I already said that. And you were like, it was just sort of like, she never gets it quite right.
Yeah, it's that
she never gets the bants right.
Well, it's what he said. It's what Mr. Newby said. It's the sense of humour failure. She just hasn't. She just... It's like the joke's there and she misses it. And she does
the trouble else, is, Lucy, because it takes such a long time to come out of her mouth. She cannot really hit the timing of the joke.
The punchline's disappeared, cantered over the horizon.
And Ben is the opposite of her. Yeah. So they're not a great couple act, are they?
Not really, no. But that's why I suppose her and David, the scenes between them can be quite turgid because both slow each other down. It's like you're walking along with a ball and, you know, it's like something tethered to your ankle.
Dragging us on. David, why are you whistling? Stop going so fast. yes. So I disagree with you two. I quite like these fun-filled sort of easy weeks.
Yeah, it is an easy week, yeah. But I do think that it just makes me worry about what's happening because I'm such a control freak. It makes me worry about what's happening that I don't know about. That's as if it's all
but
going
do,
on in
I
the background.
I do genuinely believe it feels like this because of the shorter weeks.
Yeah. No, I think you're right.
I just think it's harder to
Well, the
maintain...
like you said, the segues are harder because you can't flip between... rampant alcoholism and breast cancer. Oh, yeah, the breast cancer question, Mr. Newby. She had breast cancer 20 years ago and she had a breast removed. I don't think she had a double mastectomy, did she? And
she hasn't ever been for a checkup since, I don't think.
Yeah, she has. She has. She's
oh,
been,
has she?
Yeah, she's been.
Take it back. I take it back.
You've got to think about what you're saying, Aria. It's important.
I do. It is important.
Yeah.
Did she have a mastectomy? I don't remember that.
Yeah, I suppose she did because, I think that was all linked up with the Sam stuff, wasn't it? Because she didn't feel like a proper...
Oh my God, I didn't know that.
She talked about not feeling, sort of feeling different, not feeling...
Right.
Well, sexual, I presume, or not feeling whole or not feeling whatever. Yes. So yes, that was when we all liked Ruth before she started getting right
we
up our noses.
We still love her, Lucy, because she's Ruth. How can you not love her? She's like an old lover. We love Ruth.
With a somewhat unpredictable psychopathic temper, yes. shall we do back to the script now?
Mm-hmm.
That's you.
Oh, right. Yes, sorry. And now we go to Ambridge itself, where Elizabeth is discussing her plans for Lolo.
Lower Loxley, the ever-expanding and contracting stately home in the pretty village of Ambridge, Borsetshire, is looked after by a board of trustees who support and guide the current owner, Elizabeth Pargeter. Let's listen to Elizabeth discuss her plans for a post-pandemic future with trustee Alexander Spencer.
Hi, Mr. Spencer.
Yeah, Mrs. Pargeter.
That's me, but do call me Elizabeth. Lizzie Bum, whatever you like, really. I must say, you're a lot younger than I expected.
Well, I mean, I do still have a great deal of experience.
I bet you do. Anyway, would you like to come with me? Let's have a wander, and then maybe a glass of wine in the orangery, or maybe a bottle. Let's see how we get on.
Oh, I do have quite a lot of work back in the office.
Oh, I'm sure you can relax for just one afternoon. Now, let's see. Here's our treetop walk, always popular at pretty much every time of year. My thought for this year, and I'd love your views on it, is to start doing romantic treetop walks. Really capture those sultry, warm summer evenings, marketed at couples. The stars twinkling, the candles lighting the way through the trees.
Candles? Isn't that a bit dangerous? I mean, it is a rope walk. It'll be like Indiana Jones.
Oh, I think an element of danger's never a bad thing in love, is it, Alexander?
Oh, Alex, please.
Lovely. Oh, Alex, can you hear the piggies? Rex, my lusty swineherd, must be feeding them. They've been bred in our woodland for, days now. They've proved so popular, along with the horses, that we've decided to widen our scope and introduce more animals into the Lower Loxley offer, a sort of mini safari park.
Oh, Elizabeth.
Lizzie Bum, remember?
Yes, Lizzie Bum. I'm pretty sure that animals weren't part of the long-term strategic goals for Lower Loxley.
Well, too late, I'm afraid. So far, I've introduced those little kangaroo thingies, some wolves, and they were a hell of a struggle to get in the back of the Range Rover, I can tell you. Some tinsy little penguins for the lake. Oh, so sweet. And a giraffe. Thank God for the sunroof. Oh, and a big cat. Bit like a mountain lion. Unfortunately, it was so well camouflaged that we opened the back door and whoosh, gone. We did think we saw him earlier, heading for the gift shop, but... Oh, someone's found him anyway.
You mean you've got a cougar wandering around the site?
Not a cougar. Why would we need another cougar, Al? Oh, look, you've got a bit of fluff on your lapel here. I'll just get it off. Oh, you do smell nice.
Yeah. Lizzie Bum, I'm really rather concerned about this. It goes against health and safety guidelines on pretty much every single level.
Oh, but Al, think of the children. Think of the wonder and amazement on their little faces as a wolf goes running past, ripping one of the wallabies to bits. Oh, I forgot to say, go-karts.
You have a go-kart track?
Nope, better than that. You'll love this, Ali Pally. No track... free-range go-karts, through the animals, pedal alongside a mountain lion, and when the monkeys get here, Freddy really thinks he can teach them how to steer.
Oh, my God.
Don't look so worried, Ali Poos. We're taking care of the older visitors, too, with some garden landscaping.
Oh, that sounds more like it. What are you planning?
Well, we wanted to add an element of excitement, of the unpredictable, into the rose garden, so we're thinking... Can you guess?
Crazy paving?
Landmines.
Oh, this is insane. It's a death trap. Someone will be dead or maimed within a week. I can tell you now that the board cannot sanction this.
Well, Z, you have disappointed me. I just wanted Lower Loxley to be exciting, stimulating. I wanted to think big. You want me to be stimulating and think... big, don't you, Alex?
They're doing 3 for 2 on zebras at Costco.
Mm-hmm. be another podcast up next week, minus Harriet, who is abandoning us to frighten Cornwall with her...
Ciao, darling. See you on the beach.
With her patchy speedo.
And the rest of London are going, hurrah! Poor Cornwall. Yeah, I'm exactly.
Pimlico by sea.
With our massive cars.
So it'll be me and Mr. Noobs next week.
Oh, I'm excited.
So tune in to hear a terrified man bricking himself on air. Subscribe to us on iTunes and you will never miss an episode. If you'd like to get in touch with us, you can email
ambridgeonthecouch@gmail.com.
We are...
at onambridge.
On Twitter. Or you can follow Mr. Newbie on Twitter.
At newbiecouch. And in the meantime, please write a review.
Yes.
Thank you. And it's a goodbye from me for a couple of weeks, guys. I look forward to filling you in and all my holiday goals.
Please don't.
And have a lovely week.
Bye.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.